Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Hi, I'm Toni Clark, and you're listening to Life Matters. On today's program, we're joined by Pastor Mark Ashton, lead minister of Christ Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska. He has been leading Christ Community Church since 2006, bringing a deep passion for helping people discover the love and truth of Jesus. As we focus on Sanctity of Human Life Month, we're talking with Pastor Mark about the theology of life, the church's role in championing the value of every human life, and how the body of Christ can come alongside women and families facing unplanned or unsupported pregnancies. Pastor Mark, thank you so much for joining us on Life Matters.
Super grateful to be with you, Toni. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Pastor Mark, can you just share a bit about yourself, your background, your family, and perhaps your ministry?
Oh, man, sure. So I grew up in the Chicago area and went on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So I did InterVarsity at the University of Illinois as a rogue evangelist for about 8 years. I was the open air campus speaker, question and answer guy. And then when I was 30, I transitioned into church ministry at Willow Creek. That was about 7 years, and I was a director of evangelism there. And then I came here to Christ Community. So those are my three big word chapters. I got one wife and four kids, and still happily married after 35 years. And my kids are all following Jesus and thriving in their careers, and just very grateful for that.
Good. I knew that was something I liked about you. I'm from Chicago, too. So born and raised, grew up in Chicago, love Chicago. Don't necessarily want to live there anymore, but I loved it when I was there.
City or suburbs?
So I'm a city girl. I am from Chicago. That's my address, Chicago, Illinois, 60621.
I was a cheater. I was 30 minutes outside in Glendale Heights.
Okay. All right. So when we talk about the sanctity of human life, what does that mean biblically and theologically to you?
So the sanctity of human life is the idea that all human beings are created in God's image. And because of that, they have inherent value that comes from God. Mm-hmm. We don't have the right to mess with it, touch with it, interrupt it, kill it. It's a gift that comes straight from God, which makes it precious or sanctified. And it's holy in God's sight. And so we don't mess with the life that God created, because that's only God's right, not our right to do.
Yeah, I agree. So where do you see the foundation for that value of life in Scripture?
Well, number one place comes from Genesis 1:27 that talks about how we were created in God's image. Mm-hmm. And it specifically says men and women, male and female, were created in his image together. Mm-hmm. And together we complete the fullness of God's personhood. So there's a lot of love there. I would say Psalm 139 is a go-to place that talks about how God carefully crafted us in our mother's wombs. And each human being is like a little work of art. And when you think of works of art, they're actually fairly simplistic compared to a human being. Yeah. And so that's a beautiful thing. And then there's other passages that you could go to where people talk about having their calling to God from the time they were in the womb. So Jeremiah 1:5 would be one, Isaiah 49:1, and then somewhere in Galatians, can't remember the passage, that would be Isaiah and Paul and Jeremiah all have a sense that before they were born, they had a calling. Yeah. If you have a calling before you're born, that means that there must be inherent value in something mm-hmm. before it's mm-hmm. born. Yeah. And biblically, you know, there was not a full scientific distinction of stages of development, but the whole womb experience is included in that. And so I believe the sanctity of life is from conception all the way through death.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think another passage that I like is when Mary met Elizabeth, mm-hmm. the baby leapt in her stomach. Yeah, I just thought that.
Well, it just shows that, like, you can recognize divinity before you're born.
Absolutely.
And if you can, then you have value.
Yeah. And the thought of that, what if we recognize that as people, that before I was born, it's one thing for me to say, before I was born, God knew me and he had a purpose and a plan for me. But if I really understood that, I feel like I would live out my purpose a lot more intentionally with that thought in mind, that he knew me, and maybe I don't know all the answers, but he already does.
Yeah. Yeah. You would do it vibrantly. You would live it out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you communicate to your congregation that life at all stages is sacred and created in the image of God?
Well, we do it a number of different ways. One is whatever comes up in the Bible, we're emphasizing it that week as the scriptures raise it. And it's not just those spy passages. There's a bunch of others that kind of lead towards that idea. When we talk about ethical matters, it always begins with the assumption that people are made in the image of God and therefore they matter to him. And this has a huge number of ethical implications. It's not just abortion or end of life issues. It's, does the person in front of you who you see every single day matter to God?
Yeah.
So it's makes a difference in racism or in immigration or in men and women's relationships. All of it goes back to the idea that human beings are precious and every last one is a hand-created masterpiece by God.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I've heard you preach about life. And I think when I left your service, that when you spoke on life that particular week, Sunday I was there, I said, I don't know that I've ever heard a life message as impactful as what you spoke. And I hear a lot of life messages, but I think you convey it in a way that is honoring to God. I'm going to say gentle, perhaps, for those who are in your congregation that have had an abortion or have contemplated or been a part of it. And then for those that perhaps have different, you know, thoughts about life, I think your message comes across in a way that it hits everyone differently. And it's in a good way. And so I just always think about you and that message that you spoke, that you do it in a way that's really, really honoring to God.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm grateful for that. And, you know, anytime you're preaching in a church setting, you've got such a huge spectrum of different people that you're trying to minister to in the moment. And you can do as well as you can on your own, but you need the Holy Spirit to take it to every person's heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor, what would you say to someone who struggles to reconcile God's sovereignty and compassion with the reality of abortion in our culture today?
Well, you know, abortion absolutely is horrific. And if somebody is wrestling with the horror of it all, I would say good. That means that your conscience is alive and is alerted to the pain that's in this world. Mm-hmm. And similar to other things, you know, similar to war or genocide or other horrible things that happen in this culture, God has in his goodness given us a freedom to be able to choose good and evil.
Yeah.
And people are going to choose evil. Mm-hmm. Now, when they choose evil, that doesn't mean that you blame God. You blame the use of the beautiful gift of free will to abuse other people. Yeah. And know that there's going to be justice on the backside, that God's going to execute justice, not in the way we would, because he's got perfect knowledge, perfect morality, and perfect innocence.
Yeah.
And so that puts him in a position to judge in ways that we can't, but we trust that he'll judge justly. And we trust that that's true for both the babies and for the perpetrators, and that he knows all the complexities that are in the midst of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In your experience, how does understanding God's design for life impact the way believers view difficult or unsupported pregnancies?
Yeah, well, you know, the bottom line is that there's no baby that's an accident.
Right.
It may be a surprise to the human parents that are there. But the fact that that DNA has come together in order to create an incredibly precious new life means that they are created in the image of God. They do have value. And for the believer, you know, that means that, hey, we should be on the side of justice, kindness, compassion, adoption, all of the things that are going to make for a better life for that baby. That baby, because they're meeting God's image, matters to him. And we should be on the positive side of that, both in the political arena, but also in our financial arena and our service arena, that those are the things that we should be all about.
Yeah, that's one of the things I feel like sometimes pregnancy centers are accused of, that we're only concerned about the life of the baby. And, you know, once that baby is here, maybe it becomes a burden to society or whatever. And I'm quick to tell people, no, that's not all we're concerned about. We're concerned about the life of that child, which is why, you know, so many pregnancy centers have parenting classes. They have boutiques because we, you know, want to be able to help that young lady who has chosen life, not just to have the baby, but to change that, not just change the baby's life, but to change her life as well, which is why we share the gospel, which is why we refer to churches so she can be involved in the church body, because it's not just about the baby. It's about her life as well.
I mean, you guys are just a model of doing that amazingly well at Assure, caring for people, you know, as long as they're willing to allow you to care for them.
Right.
You guys are amazing at that. And I would also add in that most churches, not every church, but most churches are really good at that too.
Absolutely.
They have a single mom or a crisis pregnancy. You're generally not met with judgment and pain. You're met with resources and love and people who are willing to pitch in and help you and include you in community. And the church is an amazing place for folks who choose life for their kids. And so I think sometimes Christians get a bad rap about that in general.
Yeah.
The truth is, I feel like we're on the leading edge of doing stuff about that.
I would wholeheartedly agree. Yes. We can't exist without the local church. Not only are our staff and volunteers a part of the local church supports our ministry. The local church takes care of the women that we send to them. So it is a partnership of some sort. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. January 18th is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Join us as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker from Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information.
Welcome back to Life Matters. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Pastor Mark Ashton from Christ Community Church in Omaha about what it looks like for the church to be a voice for life in today's culture. In today's culture, what do you see as a local church's responsibility in standing for life?
Yeah, so all kinds of responsibilities, I would say. One is the resources that we talked about, providing for people who do choose life for their kids. We make it easier for them to do so in terms of finances and community and jobs and all those types of things. So that's one important responsibility. I think teaching the truth about the sanctity of life, about who God is and how we're created in his image, is foundation building. I think from time to time, talking about abortion in particular, and the horrific evil that it is, and the options that are available for people. You know, if people are getting all their information from the schools or the internet or other places, they're going to choose alternatives that are different than ones that would be God's priority. So those of us who are in the church have to speak to that from time to time in order to help people get to the place where they can say yes to life.
Yeah. So how does someone balance, and I'm going to say you in particular, how do you balance addressing the life issues in a way that is both compassionate and truth-filled from the pulpit?
Well, it's an art, and having the intention to do that is a really good first step.
Yeah.
Because I think being at one end or the other, of course, if you have compassion without truth, then you're just like jelly, you know, you're just wishy-washy. If you have truth without compassion, then you come across as mean-spirited. And oftentimes the truth is, if you're truth only, you miss your audience. You forget about what it's like to be someone who either disagrees or is in a crisis pregnancy or is in a challenging moral dilemma. And if you don't have that compassion for where they're starting from, you're not going to be able to speak to their heart.
Right.
So I think holding that intention is important. The how is one of the biggest things is imagine your audience. You know, ask the question, how is this going to feel to a teenage girl? How is this going to feel to somebody who just found out they were pregnant? How's this going to feel for a 50-year-old dude who helped the girl 30 years ago to get an abortion and is still racked with guilt about it? And when you play those scenarios in your mind, it helps you to actually write and rewrite and rewrite a message so that you can hold all of those things in your heart. And I think the last thing is if it's tender for you, people will resonate with that tenderness. Mm-hmm. And so if it hits you deep in your soul and you shed a few tears, good.
Yeah.
Because you should. It's that kind of an issue. And that'll help people to be on the train along with you in terms of compassion and truth.
That's good. That's good. I like the being intentional about and speaking with both compassion and truth. And you're right. Sometimes I think about myself when I'm super compassionate, I don't always share the truth, you know, mm-hmm. as much as I should. And then sometimes I want to hit you with truth and there's no love. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily always around the life issue, but perhaps with my kids. I don't know.
And sometimes that doesn't go so well.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. What are some ways that the church can avoid being silent or passive on this issue without becoming political or divisive?
Yeah, so one of the things I try to do is I try to teach it from a biblical moral perspective.
Yeah.
And I don't always leave the politics out, but to oftentimes to talk about parties or people, I'll leave that out of the equation. Mm-hmm. I have spoken to the politics of it when it's going to be on the Nebraska voting agenda, or if we're trying to pass a petition to put it on that agenda. I actually will get real political during those times, and unashamedly so. I think that there were some times that Jesus would speak to power in such a way that it actually was very political, even though he wasn't saying, I'm a Roman, or I'm somebody who's opposed Rome. Mm-hmm. He would speak in a way that his issues had political ramifications. So I think as pastors, we need to do the same kind of thing where we say, how can I treat a moral issue as a moral issue without speaking about parties or candidates? People will be able to sort that out on their own as they're, you know, praying themselves and figuring out the candidates. The Holy Spirit will lead them to who to vote for. Yeah. But we need to raise the issues that become important as you're considering your votes and as you're considering legislation, personal decisions. There's just a whole array of things that come from it.
Yeah. You know, once again, Pastor Mark, I've been to your church and I've heard you preach a life message with compassion. And I feel like your church has cultivated a culture of grace and support for women and men that perhaps have experienced abortion in their past. If there's a pastor who's listening that has perhaps not even thought about that, what are some first steps that they could take to start to create that culture of grace and support?
Yeah. Well, if somebody's dealing with this secretly, they will generally not come to you personally or publicly if you're condemning publicly.
Yeah.
So if you can be in a position publicly where you're able to say things that are compassionate towards that idea, they get the idea that, oh, here's a person who might be compassionate towards me, even though I've made mistakes in my past. Mm-hmm. And those public statements are a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Another thing would be to help people get together who have similar stories. Now, if it's a small church, it may just be two people. It may just be that you hear one person who says, I had an abortion back in college, and one who's considering it right now. You can link those two people up because there's going to be automatic compassion there. Mm-hmm. If you're in a large church, you could have a whole system of groups for people who are trying to escape from shame or recover from abortion trauma or whatever the group might be that you put together. You can actually structure those into your system. And then the safe place to go is not to somebody like me, you know, who's not only old, but male and has never been through that before, but they can go to people who understand what it's like to be in the midst of that trauma.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking as you were talking, one of the things that I realized is when I am able to talk to a congregation or visit a church and maybe just have a table or whatever, I don't think I've ever been at a church where someone afterwards did not come to me and say, you know, I had an abortion 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or 20 years ago. So going back to, you know, talking about how you balance, you know, the life issues in a way that's compassionate and true feel from the pulpit, I think when we don't, we allow someone to live with shame, with guilt, with, you know, without being healed from those experiences. And so once again, I'm just grateful for the churches that do allow for it, and in a way that a young lady or a young man can come forth and say, hey, I'm struggling with this and I need help.
Yeah. And I think there's chances too, in a public setting, you know, like on a Sunday morning, for pastors to take on the priestly function of speaking through an issue, raising it, allowing people to confess privately to the Lord during the service, and then declaring over them forgiveness and healing. And that is so powerful for people, even though they may have never had a conversation with me. It's so powerful for them to go through that and to hear somebody in authority proclaim forgiveness and healing in Jesus' name. It can be life-changing. So yeah. I'd encourage pastors to do that too.
Absolutely. Thank you. So how do you connect with local pregnancy centers like Assure Women's Center or other pro-life organizations in your community?
Well, my favorite thing is being friends with Tony Clark. We've had, a long relationship with the Assure Women's Center and with Tony in particular. And it's been a delightful time for us. And for us, that's meant everything from sending volunteers, some of whom are one-timers and some of whom are like every weekers that come in and coach people and teach classes and do counseling and nursing. And it's amazing. Yeah. We've had board members be a part. We've given financially. We've sponsored tables for banquets. And all of those are different ways that you can be a part of the solution. You know, the fun thing is that if you want to get a heads or a firsthand view of what's happening, you can get a tour of the Assure Women's Center. You can sit in on some of the procedures that are going on with people and, you know, actually hold people's hands, help them fill out forms, help them shop for stuff. So like you're face to face with real life people who are benefiting from it. And that'll change your perspective.
Oh, thank you. And I did not pay you to say all those things. I appreciate. Once again, we love the church body. We are the church body. So we love when people get involved. So, and we have had a rich, long history with Christ Community and just so grateful for what you guys have done. I think recently you all came by and helped us clean. Did some deep dive cleaning around the building and helped us clean out the basement a little bit. And so we really appreciate that.
One day deep clean can help. You know, I would also say, you know, while I'm bragging about the Assure Women's Center a little bit here, is the percentages of women who say yes to Jesus there are staggering in the positive way. Yeah. So, you know, when I look at the percentages of us on a Sunday morning versus the percentages of the Assure Women's Center, they're out of this world. And so if you say, man, we love people coming to faith in Jesus, oftentimes it's in the midst of crisis that their hearts are most open. And the Assure Women's Center does a great job of welcoming Jesus into the environment if somebody is open to it and not pushing it if somebody isn't.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that. And I mean, that's something that we value. Once again, going back to, we're just not concerned about the baby. We're also concerned about that mom, her eternal life, and helping her to live out her life so that she can share, you know, spend her life in eternity with Jesus, but also helping her in the now as well. So how can listeners take a practical step this week to stand for life and support women in need?
This week?
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, one of the best things to do, I would say, is you could love a single mom and help make her life a little bit easier. Somebody maybe in your neighborhood or in your workplace, and bless them, help them babysit their kid, help them be able to deal with it. When that life is more livable, people see it more possible when they're being faced with that kind of a life.
Yeah.
If they want to do something this week, they can always pray that God's going to be bringing about his purposes right now in this generation. And if you want to, if you're positioned for it, you can give to help make sure that people who don't have the resources will be able to be resourced enough to make the wise decisions.
Good. Pastor Mark, can you share one final word of encouragement or prayer for those who might be listening who feel called to engage more deeply in this mission?
And I would love to share a prayer for that.
Okay.
Father, thanks for the people who may say, you know what, it's time for me right now to be able to make a difference in this world. Mm-hmm. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make that conviction and that desire to grow in them, and that tomorrow it'll be a bigger desire and the next day bigger and the next day bigger. And I pray, God, that they would not resist your Holy Spirit in taking action steps to make a phone call, to come check out the Assure Center, to be able to make a donation, to love a single mom, to pray prayers every single day. We pray, God, that you would lay it on people's hearts to be able to help eliminate the scourge of abortion in Nebraska, and that each of us would take our small steps that we can to be lovers and givers and servants in order to be able to make that possible. So we invite your blessing to be on people who are listening, and we pray for your conviction to be on them at the same time. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So one last thing as we close, where can listeners learn more about Christ Community Church?
You can always find us at anything with CCC Omaha on it. So you can go to the web, cccomaha.org. You can go to YouTube, CCC Omaha, Instagram, CCC Omaha, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. We're all over the place, and we're always labeled with CCC Omaha.
All right. What an encouraging conversation. Pastor Mark, thank you so much for sharing your heart, your experience, and your biblical insight with us today. It's a powerful reminder that the church is called not only to speak truth, but to live it. And as we celebrate Sanctity of Human Life Month, I want to remind our listeners that you can be a part of this life-affirming mission too. Pray for the women in our community facing difficult pregnancy decisions. Partner with your local pregnancy center. And together, let's continue to build a culture that values life, mother, father, and child.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There, you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. January 18th is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Join us as we honor every precious life. You can invite a speaker from Sanctity of Human Life Sunday or request free digital materials for your church's use. We also look forward to 40 days of prayer, February 18th through March 29th. Be part of this united season of intercession. Visit firststeptolife.com for more information. That's firststeptolife.com. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.